As I was sitting back in my office this morning, kind of meditating on what I was going to be speaking on this morning, and the Lord gave me this word here in my preparation. He says, I can prepare, me personally, I can prepare, but it's through prayer that I am prepared. It's through prayer that I am prepared. Carrie and I probably in the last 3 years, we've probably spent more time in prayer than we have in the past 10 years. And living out in Oklahoma, it's just because we were in an environment of it all the time. A lot of people think of Brother Hagin and they think, well, he's a man of faith. He's the father, modern day father of faith. And he was. But he also was a man of prayer, man of love. And so I would say probably in the last 3 years that we've been out there, we've probably, just while we were in school, we were probably in 120 different sessions with Miss Lynette Hagin, strictly just on prayer. And then you bring in all the other things that are going on. And then you bring in all your personal time. So we spent so many hours in prayer, so much time in the Word of God. While we were out there, we had probably about 19 to 20 hours a week that we were just at the school and at the church, just in the Word of God, just in the Word of God. It's being pumped into us. And just the importance of it and the whole idea of prayer being pumped into us and the importance of that, to where it became something that just kind of consumed our lives from the moment that we woke. I would wake up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I can't sleep. Well, why can't I sleep? I would pray. This is one thing that I would pray before I go to bed at night. Lord, if you need me in the middle of the night, wake me up. Wake me up, because I know that there's something that you need, whether it's to pray for someone else, whether it's just to pray in general. But I believe that when he would wake me up and wake me up to pray, that there was a specific purpose for which I was to be praying. But making myself available to him at all hours of the day or night. And I think that that's, if we want to see the move of God in our lives, we need to make ourselves available at all hours of the day and night to be used by him. The title of my sermon is, Can We Talk? Can We Talk? But, you know, a lot of times we look at prayer as this, I'm going to be honest with you. As I was preparing this morning too, he says, be transparent. I'm like, okay, well, what do you mean? Well, tell him what you used to think about prayer. I'm like, okay. I didn't want to hear sermons on prayer. I want to hear sermons on faith and power. I want to hear sermons on prosperity. I'm an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ. That's what I wanted to hear. But to actually sit down there and listen to a sermon just about prayer in the past was like, okay. But so I think a lot of times we look at prayer that it is, sometimes it takes up too much of our time. We got too much going on. And I think that is a problem that we have nowadays, is that we do have too much going on that we don't stop and take time to have a conversation with God, because that's really what it is. I think a lot of times we think that, I was listening to a Billy Graham clip here just actually this morning, and it was on prayer. He said he had a daughter that would pray so much, and she felt that when she woke up in the morning, she had to be on her knees at her bedside praying in that fashion. He said, and if you would actually touch her knees were like leather. So that told me that she was on her knees every morning praying. But he was also saying, and I believe this, is that prayer doesn't have to be that. Prayer is a conversation with God. I mean, yeah, you can take a formal time and sit down and say, get on your knees, raise your hands, whatever it may be. But I'm walking down the road or I'm driving in my car. When I was working at the prison there, I had three different ways that I could go to work. And I'd say, okay, Lord, which way do you want me to go today? I'm just asking a question. And he said, well, why don't you go this way here? Well, I don't know if anything would have happened if I'd have gone these other two ways or not. But he said, go this direction. I had an impression to go this direction. So I went that direction. That's when I went to work. But that's what I'm talking about, prayer. It's just a conversation with God. We're out here yesterday doing the project. You know, Kevin's out there. He's got a lot of wisdom on what's going on. and how to build things. So we're asking him questions for guidance on how to do something specific. And then the rest of us might be at one point just talking to one another, just having a conversation like this, you know. Well, that's what prayer should be. It should just be a conversation. You shouldn't have to say, oh, I got to get in the right mood. I got to turn the lights down low. And it may be you like the lights down low when you pray. But you don't have to. It's just something that you can at any time of the day or night just start talking to God. Just have a conversation with him. But there needs to be a shift. We need to shift from, I've been this way for way too long. I need to shift myself over here into a position to where now, okay, my focus is right here. My focus is, where is God leading me? Where is God taking me? Instead of over here, I think I'll go play disc golf today. Well, there's nothing wrong with playing disc golf. I've been playing disc golf now for 3 years. I love it. But anyway, but we need to get ourselves in a position to where we can hear from God. We can speak to him, because prayer, that's what that is. It should be a two-way conversation. You should state what it is that you are coming to him about, but then there's a time you just keep your mouth quiet and just listen. Wait for him to speak. Because he's got something to say. I mean, in our own wisdom, in our own understanding, we don't have the answers. There's some natural things that we know how to do, some things we can figure out, but ultimately we don't have the answer to what's going on in this world today, what should be going in our lives. If you look at John chapter 14, we're talking about asking. Prayer is just talking. And maybe you guys know that. But for too long, the church hasn't looked at it that way. Prayer is just talking to God. And so if I go here to John chapter 14, and I look up here at verse 12, it says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I go to the Father. And let's just tell, okay, what was just said, now this here goes along with it. Says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. Huh. So that the Son may bring glory to the Father, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it. Well, what's anything? Anything. Now, it needs to be in line with the Word of God. You can't ask for something crazy, you know. You hear these one stories. I had one pastor was telling me that this guy or this lady in his church was praying that had a prayer request, and the pastor wanted to know what she wanted prayer for. And she says, "Well," he says, "No, I need to know what you want prayer for." Well, I'm praying that this guy over here will leave his wife, and the two of us can get. Well, wait a second. That's not in line with the Word of God, you know. So, but things that are in line with the Word of God, 1 John 5:14, we've said it numerous times. And this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to His will, if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we ask. It's a conversation. It's the Word of God, but the word of God is showing us here a conversation that we should be having with God. Whatever it is, He says, whatever you ask, I will do it. Well, let's look at, you know, don't take my word for that one. Let's go over here to John the 15th chapter. And we're going to look at verse number 7. It says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. So these are things that are according to the will of God, right? We just mentioned 1 John 5:14 and 15. Well, this is talking about the Word of God. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, so that's His will. Ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Ask. So what's asking? It's a conversation. You're talking to God. So in chapter 14 there, he's saying, ask whatever it is, it'll be given to you. In chapter 15, ask him whatever it is, it'll be given to you. 1 John 5:14 and 15, ask anything according to his will, and it'll be given to you. Do we need any more proof? Other than we've got three portions of scripture right there that tell us to ask, and it'll be given to you. Well, here's a fourth. Ask, it'll be seek, and you'll find. Knock, doors will be open. There's all kinds of promises on just the whole idea of having a conversation with God. Can we talk? Can we talk? I guess, to me, it's becoming more simple and simple and simpler. Simpler is a word, correct? I think. Anyway, but it's becoming more and more simple that, you know, just ask. He's just asking to ask. Just have a conversation. He says that he knows what we need before we ask, but he says ask. I knew what my kids needed a lot of times before they asked me, but I still want them to ask me. Give me the opportunity to tell them no, but no. Anyway, but there needs to be a shift from where we've been to where we need to be with regards to our prayer life. We need to start getting to a point where it becomes just a conversation. It doesn't have to be something super spiritual, even though it is spiritual. It doesn't have to be something where you're on your knees and get leather knees and things like that. It is still a spiritual experience when you communicate with God. But man, it's just a conversation. Hallelujah. There's got to come a point where we believe that prayer is the heartbeat of the church. It's the heartbeat of the church. We were just talking about these verses. If you ask, I'll do it. If you ask anything according to my will, I'll do it. What is our ask for Life Point Church? Have we been asking for anything for Life Point Church? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. Have we been asking for anything for Life Point Church? Have we been asking that the people of Life Point Church, including myself, and I'm saying including, not, we want to grow spiritually. Have we been asking for a word to come forth that helps us to grow spiritually? Have we been asking, Lord, give me, I want to set aside time specifically for you in my busy day. I want to set aside time for you to be able to sit down and have a conversation with you, to sit down and ask, to sit down and praise you, to sit down and glorify you, because it's not all about the ask. It's about praising the person that you are asking you. It's about praising the person who is your provider. But he does ask us to ask him for the things that we need in our lives, for the direction that we need to go in our lives. I didn't know, I always knew from the time I was 17 years old that I was supposed to go to Rhema Bible Training College. So at age 57, I went to Rhema Bible Training College. And so 40 years later, I finally made it out there. But you know what? And I always used to say to myself, man, it took me all this time, and I feel like I'm too old to be going to Bible college at this age. And then he reminded me, well, how old was Moses when he first started? He's 80 years old. Well, I'm not quite 80 yet. And then when I would get out there, I would think, man, if I only could have been here when I was 17. And one of the first things that was spoken to me when I was out there was, now's your time. Okay, so that knocked away that argument. But we've got to get ourselves positioned. We've got to realize that prayer is the heartbeat of the church. What are we praying? Prayer is the heartbeat of your life. What are you praying over your life? What are you asking? What kind of conversation are you having with God with regards to your life, with regards to your wife, with regards to your children? Husbands, you're the covering for your household. How are you leading? What are you praying over your household? What are you praying for over your wife and your kids? Woo. Man, when my wife gets in the car and she takes off, am I praying for her safety as she's out and about? Of course, I believe God watches over her, but I'm to be there with her. You know, we're in this thing together. So we need to make sure that we're in a position to ask. And to get into that position to ask, sometimes we need to lay this aside in order to come have a face-to-face with God. Ooh, man. I don't know if my toes got stepped on there a little bit. I'll just tell you, before I get into this next verse here, I was playing so much disc golf in Oklahoma that at one point, because I still have my conversations with God, he said, are you spending more time playing disc golf than you are reading the Word? Ooh. Okay. So I went from 5 days a week playing disc golf down to 2. So he didn't say quit playing disc golf. But, you know, spend some time with him. When we pray out the plan of God, we have to get after it. Anybody knows what it means to get after it? Yeah, let's do it. There's no more messing around. And it's got to be focused, but in that focus, we have to have an expectation of results. Turn with me to James chapter 5. We don't want to, when we pray according to the Word of God, and we're praying the Word of God, you can expect results. In Isaiah, it says, "And my word shall go forth, and it will accomplish what I've set out for it to do, and it will not only accomplish, it won't return void, it'll do what I sent it to do, and it will be prosperous in that which I sent it." So if I'm praying, and I'm praying in line with the Word of God, and I'm actually praying the Word of God, I got to know, you got to have a confident expectation. You can have a confident expectation that it will be prosperous in the thing in which you sent it. So when you're having those casual conversations with God, you're having those face-to-face with God, and you're asking Him, and you're asking Him according to His Word, just know that it's a done deal. All right, let's look at James chapter 5 and verse 16 and 17. It says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another." Have a conversation with God about one another, with one another, "that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Elijah was a guy. We look at some of these biblical figures and we think of them as here we are and here they are. No. They got themselves from over here in this position, operating in the world, to over here into this position and being in line with God. So they're not above us. They're not better than we are. They were just men who came in line with what God wanted them to do. That's where we can be. We can come in line with where God wants us to be. Because it says here that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was just like us. "And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit." We're talking about fervent prayers here. There's all kinds of different types of prayers in the Bible. Supplication, just all kinds of different kinds of prayers in the Bible. But in this verse here, it's talking about fervent prayer. And, I mean, this to me, this is getting me excited. That when I go before God, and there's I pray for Life Point Church. I have a fervent prayer over Life Point Church, that the people of this church, they're going to grow. They're going to see the move of God in their life. And Father, I'm just praying right now that great and mighty things are happening in their life. Sickness and disease cannot cross their doorstep. Father, that poverty cannot attack their bank accounts. Father, that their lives are beacons in this city of Mattoon, Illinois. That there's nothing that can hinder them. No weapon that's formed against them. And there will be a weapon formed against you. But that weapon that's formed against you, it can't prosper in the lives of the people of Life Point Church. You guys are winners. You guys are victorious. And that's the way I pray to God for each and every one of you. As we get going here, you stick with me. I've only been here a couple of weeks, but as you stick with me, you're going to realize that you are more than conquerors. It says, "Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." Well, guess what? That means greatness resides on the inside of each and every one of you. Because who resides on the inside of us? Jesus. "Greater is he that's in you than anything that's in the world." These are the prayers that I have for Life Point Church. These are the prayers that I have for each and every one of you. And those that I haven't met yet, and I see there's some that are out today, these are prayers that I pray for each and every one of them. I have a conversation. I set aside this and come over here and say, "God, I want to have a conversation with you." And I know he's never busy. His phone is never busy. So I just have a conversation with him, and I just pray for the people of Life Point Church. I pray for my life, pray for my wife's life, my kids' life. My kids are the smartest kids in the world. There might be somebody smarter than they are, but from the time they were this little here, I would pray over them every day, and then I would tell them. I said, you guys are smart. You guys can do anything. My kids now are 38, 36, and 26, and I still tell them that to this day. And not only do I tell them that, I have four grandkids that I tell them that every time I see them. I speak the word over them. I pray over them. I pray the word of God over them. And my granddaughter, Charlie, she's carrying a chair across the deck one day. And I said, Charlie, do you need help with that? She goes, no, Jesus gives me strength to carry this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We pray that over them. And she gets it, that there's nothing that she can't do. But I think that we need to align ourselves. We got to come to a point where we align our lives to have a lifestyle of prayer. How many people are facing something in their lives right now? I am. We got stuff going on in our lives right now. We got challenges going on in our lives right now. I've got family members that have challenges going on in their lives. What's the answer? A conversation with God in line with His Word, knowing that His Word works. Believe it. Fervent prayer is a deep, focused, and passion-filled petition to God. Prayer in itself is aligning and communing with God, the Creator, but delving into a prayer of deep fervor remarkably changes not only the circumstance, but the person who prays. Man, when you start praying these fervent prayers like we just read here in James, and you start seeing the answers come to those prayers, who gets excited? Man, I do. I've said it here before already. I've had two ailments that were considered incurable. Well, I've been healed of both of them. Well, I was healed 2,000 years ago, but the manifestation here was here just not that long ago. One of them a week before I came here. And how did that come about? I had a conversation with God. He said, you said, by his stripes I was healed. Not me, you said that. And so I just took him at his word. I believe that as you're encouraged in your faith, how are you encouraged in your faith? How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. You have to spend time in the Word. I believe if you want to see the things of God in your life, then you need to spend time in the Word. You need to know what it is that speaks to the thing that you're dealing with. I've said before, and this is no condemnation to anybody, I've taken pills before myself too. But none of us should ever walk through life sick. The devil tries to attack us, and we can stand, and we're standing. We're standing with some people now, believing with them that God has healed them, and they're going to have the manifestation of it. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible says, you'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So recovery is a process. 100% believe that. But we're going to be healed. And then none of us should ever die sick. That's just, what I believe. But don't feel like I'm condemning anybody by saying if you're sick right now that you just don't have enough faith. No, that's not the case. I've taken pills for high blood pressure. Well, my blood pressure is in check. But we've got to get to the point where we can position ourselves to where we're having those conversations with God in line with His Word, and then these fervent prayers, just like we talked about, and then when those things, those manifestations start to come about, man, you want to tell everybody about it. You want to tell everybody about what God just did in your life. In Luke chapter 22, verses 44 through 46, talking about Jesus, and this is another example of fervent prayer, says here, and in his anguish, extreme distress or torment, he prayed even more intensely, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and returned to the disciples, he found them asleep, weighed down with sorrow. He roused them. Why are you sleeping? Wake up and pray that you will not sink into temptation. His prayers were so intense that it said it was as if it was drops of blood. A fervent prayer. getting after it. Being serious about what it is that we're talking to God about. It's not just little flippant, you know, things that we throw up. Hey, let me toss this up to God and see if he catches it and I get an answer for it. No, have that conversation. And I believe that if it's in line with his will, things are going to happen in your lives, in your life. We had a prayer group out at Rhema, and Carrie and I were a part of, and there was four of us in the group. And this was probably the most uncomfortable I've ever been in a prayer group, because we had four chairs that sat and faced each other, probably about two to three feet away from each other. And so you're in somebody else's face and you're praying. But it was a prayer group that we had certain focuses that we prayed about. And one of the things that we were praying about was Rhema, Myanmar, its country. And so there's an orphanage there that Rhema sponsors and deals with. And they were praying for a new house for these kids. Well, the house in that country was going to cost $100,000+. I can't remember how much exactly. But we began praying, and we're praying face to face. We're praying in our understanding. We're praying in the spirit. You know, because there comes a point when your understanding is just, you don't know what else to pray. So you start praying in the spirit, and then that's, to me, that's the perfect prayer. That's the divine connection there. So we started praying in the spirit, and it was maybe a week or two later we get a report from that country saying that a house had been purchased for them, paid in full. Well, we got down to business. We got after it. We had fervent prayer in that little group of four. Now, were there other people praying for that? Probably. But we believe that that little group of four sitting face to face, uncomfortable, probably spit hitting each other back and forth, we were praying there, believing that God was going to move on their behalf, and he did. And to this day, those kids have this huge house over there to where they can come and be taken off the streets and be taught the word of God and get educated and all these different things. But I believe it came from having a focused, fervent prayer for that specific situation. It wasn't comfortable when we first started that prayer group. Here on Wednesday nights, we've started something that I don't know what was done here in the past, and it doesn't matter. This is what I believe the Lord's having me do. Is I come to prayer on Wednesday nights about 30 minutes before the service, and we pray for 30 minutes. I mean, you don't have to be here and pray for 3 hours to get the job done. We pray for 30 minutes, but I also come out with a sheet of paper that will have three or four things listed on this sheet of paper. This is what we're praying about. Not that we can't pray for something else, because we have, but I want to have a focused prayer, time of prayer, in that 30 to 40 minutes, whatever it is we're praying, so that we can get down to business and we can get after it and we can pray specifically for these things. We pray understanding, and then we pray in the Spirit over these things. And what I'll do is I'll give each person one of those sheets of paper. I say, take it home and look at this thing throughout the week. And I say, don't pray for it again. The things that we prayed for on Wednesday night, don't pray for those things again. You've already prayed for them once. Start praising God for it. Because I believe that if we keep praying the same things over and over and over again, we didn't believe what we prayed the first time. We didn't believe God was going to take care of it the first time. When we had that conversation over here with him the first time, we had that face-to-face and we had fervent prayer going on. We had praying in our understanding, praying in the Spirit, all those things going on. When we were done praying for that specific thing, case closed. The promise has already been set forth. We don't need to go back and pray for that again. Let's just start thanking him for it. And then I take that piece of paper, I go in here to my computer, I've already typed it up on my computer, and when the manifestation of those prayers start coming forth, I'm going back to my computer, I'm typing in what happened with regards to what we prayed, so that we've got something that we can look on, and we can thank God for who he is and how great he is, and we can just rejoice and be excited for all the things that he's doing, because some people took some time to stop. Leave the business over here, leave it over there, come over here and have a conversation with God with things that are either weighing heavy on our hearts, weighing heavy on this community, whatever it may be. Stop, and we took a little bit of time and focused our hearts together on those things. Sometimes you have to get uncomfortable to be comfortable. I don't know if you get what I'm saying here. Sometimes when I was talking about we're sitting there praying face to face, that's uncomfortable. But the more you do it, easier it gets. Church that our pastor up in Northern Illinois here, he was gone one Wednesday and he asked me to take over, and they had prayer before service. And we had, I think it was 12 or 16 people showed up. And before they got there, I know when they walked in, they probably wondered what was going on. Because I took 16 chairs and I put them face to face, and we were this far away from each other. I said, have a seat. And so they had a seat. And I had focused prayer. I had three specific things I wanted to pray about. And they got to praying. And I said, and as each one of you feel led to jump in and pray, jump in. Start praying. And when we first started praying, I started it out, and all of a sudden it was kind of like, just kind of timid. But as time went on and they felt more comfortable sitting there in front of each other, man, we pray out loud. I don't pray under my breath anymore. I pray out loud. When I was back in 1995, I was probably the most shy person that you would ever want to meet growing up, and even until I was about 32, 33 years old. I was the little kid who hid underneath the kitchen table when company was there and came out when they left. I'm married to my wife, and I'm 20 years old, and 12 years later, throughout the first 12 years of our marriage, she did all the talking. Once in a while, I would jump in and say something, but she did all the talking. Well, I went to a Promise Keepers conference down in Dallas, Texas, October 1995. 11 guys getting on a Winnebago motorhome that never should have made it, not only down and back to Dallas, Texas, it never should have made it there to begin with. 1974, part of the radiator was clogged up, but we went anyway. All these guys were on this motorhome. And as I was going, the Lord's telling me, now I'd never done anything like this before. I mean, I'm the shy guy, but he's getting me to step out. He says, go to this conference. He says, when you get there, don't go get a drink or anything like that, restroom, while the conferences are going, while these speakers are speaking. You sit there and you listen. I'm like, okay. So I did. And when the conference was over, I said, okay, now what? Well, he told me, he said, these guys aren't going home with you. Rick's not going home with you on Sunday afternoon. But these guys aren't going home with you from this conference. You need to learn to stoke your own fire. You need to learn to get into the Word on a regular basis. And then you need to learn to have regular conversations with me over here too. And so I said, okay. So I went down there in October of 1995. And by November of 1995, I had started a men's Bible study. And that men's Bible study lasted for 10 years, and we had probably about 25 guys in that men's Bible study. That was not Rick. But how did it come? How did all that come about? It's because I was over here having a conversation. Man, I got to come out of this. You know, if it wasn't for that conversation I had with him in 1995, I wouldn't be standing here right now. Just what I never would have went to Bible school, Bible college. Just wouldn't have done it. But it takes us getting out of our comfort zones of things that we're accustomed to doing to coming over here to something that we're not accustomed to doing. It doesn't matter what your upbringing was like over here. I had a pretty conservative upbringing. You know, I can tell you this. Don't look badly at my mom or dad. Guess what? I'll be 60 years old next month. That's not old. But anyway, I'll be 60 years old next month. But in the course of my life, maybe when I couldn't understand them speaking, I never heard my mom and dad ever tell me they loved me. I knew they did, but to this day, I've never heard that from them. And my mom and dad, but that was just how they were brought up, the conservative life that they were brought up in. Now, Carrie and I said when our kids are grown, we're going to be the exact opposite. And my son-in-laws, we're the exact opposite. Our son-in-laws, we give each other hugs before we leave, you know. So, but it was just, it doesn't matter how you were brought up. We need to forget how we were brought up and get ourselves in a position over here that may seem uncomfortable initially, but get ourselves in a position over here where we say, okay, God, I want to have those conversations with you. And when I have those conversations with you, He may ask you to do something that you're not comfortable doing. The Word of God may ask you to do something, which is who He is, may ask you to do something that's not comfortable in doing. But I'll tell you what, when you step out and you actually do it, and you get excited about it, you're looking for an opportunity the next time. I pray to Him. I don't pray this way anymore, but I pray to Him and say, Lord, give me somebody to talk to about You every day. I don't care if it's somebody who's not born again, somebody who is born again, somebody who just needs encouragement. I used to pray to Him like that every day. I don't do it anymore. I just expect those people to be in my life every day. And when I see that in my life every day, in the past, this would have been uncomfortable. I pursue that person. I'm walking down Aspen Avenue out there where we lived in Oklahoma, and I see a guy walking toward me. And I'm saying, okay, Lord, you want me to say something to him? Is there anything you want me to say? Does he need to be acknowledged in some form or fashion? Well, the guy, I think when he I tried to make eye contact with me, he's kind of like, and he just kind of zoomed away from me, actually. I think he thought I was pursuing him, which I kind of was. But no, I look for the opportunities now. But I never would have looked for those opportunities if I hadn't gotten away from what was comfortable and got over here to what might seem a little uncomfortable and have a conversation with him. I keep coming back to prayer is a conversation. But it's two-way. You speak and you listen. And when he tells you, then you do. And that's how I came out of my shyness. So I quit looking at the, you guys are okay till about 2 or 3 o'clock, aren't you? Pizza comes at around 12:30 and then we'll pick up again. But I guess what I'm really trying to get across here this morning is that what's holding us back? What's holding us back from having these conversations with God? Are we just not thinking about it throughout the day? We get busy and we just don't think about it, you know? And I will say that when I get busy and throughout the day and I'm not thinking about it, I haven't been thinking about him anyway. Something in that area needs to change. My thoughts need to be each day, each moment, Lord, what do you want me to do? And that's just it. Prayer isn't a time necessarily that you have to set aside. You're walking down the street. Hey, Lord, how are you doing today? That sounds weird, right? Lord, how are you doing today? Well, he's doing good. I'm just having a conversation. But I just really want to emphasize that we got to take time. If we want to see things happening in our lives, we got to take time. If we want to be delivered from things, we got to take time. If we want to have peace in a situation, we got to take time. We got to take time. Let's take time. I've got a bunch more here I can go through. I'm just going to kind of close out here. I want to just read a bunch of scriptures that if we just stop and return to the Word, have a love for the Word. I think really the reason a lot of people don't pray today as much as we should, I'm not saying anybody ever, plenty, but the reason a lot of people don't pray is I don't think they're really in love with Jesus. Ouch. I believe they love God and they're going to heaven, but are you in love with Him? And you're in love with your wife and you interact with her on a daily basis in some form or fashion, well, that's how we have to interact with God, is on a daily basis in some form or fashion. But in Matthew 18:19, it says, again, I say to you, if you two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Matthew 7:7, ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer, conversation, and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Luke 18:1, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. 1 John 5:14-15, we went over those two verses. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. So many more promises about prayer in the Word of God. Those are just a few that I looked up the other day, that if we pray, that if we ask, and all these promises will come our way. We just need to get ourselves out of here and need to get ourselves over in a position here to where we have those conversations with God so we can see the supernatural, the miraculous happening in our lives on a daily basis, and we don't have to live in a state of disarray in our lives, a state of confusion in our lives. We need to have those conversations. I feel like there's so much more I want to say here today, but we don't have enough time to do it. But we'll have more time later to talk about it. But I just want to get across with you today, across to you today, is take time, slow down. Take time to position yourself in such a way that you can have a conversation with God every day. And you'll see big and mighty things happening in your life. Father God, I just thank you for this time that we did have here this morning. Father, I thank you that your word is true. I thank you that you say if we abide in your word, Father, you say that whatever your word says, we can ask and we can receive. Father, there's nothing too big for you. There's no ask too big for you. There's nothing that shocks you that's going on in our lives. Father, we know that your word says that we are healed, that we've been healed. Father, that's not just physically. That's in all areas of our life, emotionally, whatever it may be. Father, I just thank you that you are a big God. And I can come to you with everything and just dump it on your lap. You say, cast all my care on you. I thank you that I can cast my care on you. You said, if any man be in Christ, which we are, we're new creatures. Old things. Things that we've gone through in the past, things that still try to haunt us today. You said those old things have passed away. They're dead. Not to be resurrected. You said old things have passed away and all things are new. Father, that's exciting. To know that we are new creatures. We're your ambassadors. We are your representatives of your kingdom. Your word says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's going to try to do that, I know, Father, through thoughts, ideas, and suggestions, causing us to try to think back on what the failures of our past. But you said that you've come that we'll have life, newness of life, and have that more abundantly, in superabundance. So, Father, as we leave this place here today, we know that we don't leave you here. You go with us. You lead us. You guide us. Your Holy Spirit speaks to us from the throne room of God, and He shows us things to come. So, Father, as we walk through those doors today and we enter back out into this world these next 6 days, we know that all we have to do is just stop and just have a conversation when we face things. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Your word says it.